Driving the culture forward, this is Hype Beast Radio. My name is Ben Rosen.
I'm Major Ostini.
And we are here today with John Seymour, entrepreneur, restaurateur, born New Yorker. Anything else you want to add to the resume?
Regular fucking guy.
There it is. It's perfect. And he is the man behind, I think you might have heard of Pops in Brooklyn. You might have heard of Sweet Chick. What else is the empire?
Ludlow Coffee Supply. My wife also owns Pearls Caribbean in Brooklyn.
Great little spot. I'm a big fan of Pearls.
Yeah, so we're growing, you know.
Yeah, and you're coming off a pretty crazy week, man. You're like, tell the people what you have done in the past, I don't know what, 72 hours?
Yeah, I mean, this week has been really crazy for us. We were actually talking about it. We were like, you know, of all the things, you know, and where we are now, we were like, this is probably the most insane week. You know, dealing with regular problems, like the Lower East Side restaurant is actually shut down right now because of the gas in the building. The entire building's out. So that's like a major headache. We opened up at Citi Field, like a little counter service called Lil Sweet Chick. It's kind of almost like a new model that I've been working on and had the opportunity to do something with the Mets. And then this weekend, we're having a grand opening party of our Long Island City Queens location. Which has been in the works for a long time. Ever since I met Nas, it was like, you know, we had the conversation, we got to bring it to Queens. So Monday night is our opening night in Queens. My kids are also off for spring break, so, you know, they're driving us all nuts at the house. And, you know, I'm sure there's
a million. You're doing all of this as a dad.
Yeah, let the record show that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Well, actually, let's start with probably the last thing on the list besides the kids. How did this partnership with Nas come about? Because you were also, I think we haven't even mentioned, but you were in that episode of The Rapture that came out just this week.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's another thing that happened this week. Right. A lot of people hit me up about it. A lot of people that are Irish actually hit me up because in The Rapture, we filmed at the for Nas's doc. We filmed at the opening of LA for anybody who hasn't seen it. So we opened LA almost a year ago today, and Nas grabs me. He's like, "Yo, my Irish brother." And he's like, "Peace to all my Irish brothers." So like literally mad Irish people on Instagram just continuously hitting me up like, "Yes, you know, like we got representation by Nas, you know?" So that was a pretty good look on The Rapture, you know?
And how did that relationship start? How did you guys meet? How did he get involved with the
With the brand? So, you know, I had opened up the original Sweet Chick in Brooklyn and then I just opened the one on the Lower East Side. I had a chance kind of dinner, the CEO of Mass Appeal, Peter Bittenbender, who Nas is also a partner there, came in for dinner. We just started chopping it up. The next week I'm in the office with him. And next thing I know, like he was like, "Yo, I think Nas would be interested in the Sweet Chick concept." And apparently his boys have heard of it and been there and they love it. So I literally that day got a text and said, "Nas wants to meet you and fly you to South by Southwest to meet you." This was like, I guess 3 years ago. And I was like, "Holy shit, that's really happening." So I went down there and literally backstage of a little show that they were doing at South by Southwest. It was a really small backstage area, people coming in and out. And it's funny, part like the way the story goes, I had met Joey Badass, you know, opening up the Brooklyn store and was, you know, a fan of the music. We were listening to the music a lot. And Joey was performing that night at this concert. And I saw Joey outside and I was like, "Yo, I'm about to meet Nas. And I think he might be interested in getting involved in the restaurant." And Joey was like, "Oh shit, that's crazy, you know, word, you know, good luck." So as soon as we finished that conversation, Nas walked into the green room. And literally, you know, it was kind of like almost like a set up meeting that we had, you know. So I was like, just myself, to be honest with you. And I was just like, "Yo, what up, you know, this is what we're doing at the restaurant." You know, kind of just talked about, you know, what it is that we do as a brand, kind of creating community and building, you know, building on culture and you know, just really kind of what we like to call just continuously doing dope shit on a regular basis. So he apparently he fucked with it, you know, and next thing I know, we were up in Brooklyn eating at the restaurant in Williamsburg and just talking a little bit more about it. He actually, Run the Jewels was doing a concert on the water and Nas was like, he's like, "Oh, I got to go down to this concert if you want to roll." So I was like, "Cool." He got on stage. They made you look with them in Williamsburg. And we were talking about basketball. And the playoffs were on at the time. And I lived around the corner in Williamsburg at the time. And I was like, you know, just saying like, "Yo, if you want to catch the game, you know, I live down the block." So he got off stage and was like, "Yo, let's go to the crib and watch the game." Next thing you know, we're just chilling, watching the game in my house.
That's got to be pretty surreal, though, because you're like a born and bred New Yorker.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
Like, no joke. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like me that Nas was my favorite rapper growing up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I'm not that much younger than Nas, you know, but, you know, when I was 18 or when I was like 16, I had a boombox in Central Park, you know, with my BMX bike listening to Nas, and like he was my favorite rapper. So it's crazy how the whole thing has come full circle. You know, it would be, you know, just the way the story has played out. It's like, had like Jay or even Big been my favorite rapper, it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
You know? So now it's like, it's just a crazy situation. Like now he's just my boy.
Wow.
You know, obviously we're business partners, but it's kind of transcended to another level. It's just the homie now. So, wow.
Yeah. And for those that's tuning in, like, and might not be aware of Sweet Chick, could you describe the restaurant, like the atmosphere there?
Yeah. So, I mean, Sweet Chick in its essence, originally, I found a space in Williamsburg and I wanted to just do something cool for the neighborhood. So I was living in that neighborhood. I've been there for about 16 years. I'm originally from Manhattan. And really I wanted to open a neighborhood spot. I had heard the story of how chicken and waffles was invented in Harlem with the jazz clubs. You know, a guy went 4 o'clock in the morning, jazz musician went into the kitchen, didn't know if he wanted breakfast or dinner, or breakfast or lunch, or breakfast or dinner. And the guy was like, at like 4 a.m., the cook was like, I got fried chicken left over and I can make waffles. So that's kind of how it was birthed. So I heard that story and I was just like, damn, you know, the West Coast kind of made it famous. You know, fried chicken is obviously a Southern thing. And I just didn't think anybody was in New York really representing it and doing something kind of cool with it. So I said, let's build a restaurant around this dish. And if you've been to Sweet Chick, you know we do it like in a wide variety of styles. Like we can do Nashville hot chicken, the Buffalo, General So's, you know, which is a play on New York takeout. And the list goes on. So then I was like, let's build a full menu around it. Let's build a cocktail program around it. And then music was very important. And it just so happened that, you know, the dish itself was spawned from jazz. And then during construction, you know, I used to be work construction. So like I was doing a lot of the work in the restaurant and listening to music. And a lot of it, which is really ironic, I'm wearing this t-shirt right now. We were listening to a lot of Joey Badass at the time. And then who do I meet there? One of the first artists I ever met at the restaurant was Joey. And music just became very important. You know, it's kind of ingrained in what we do. Like, you know, we always getting compliments on the playlist and stuff like that. The 1 year anniversary, I had Raekwon show up unannounced and just kind of surprised all the homies. We did like a 1 year anniversary, just invited our friends and people that support us from day one. And, you know, really Ray performing at that opening at the 1 year anniversary was kind of a spark that really started bringing it together for us, like the music side of it. The other thing about Sweet Chick is really just building the community. You know, like, it's the staff that we hire, from the staff that we hire to the attitudes that we have, where it's like, you know, we're embracing people when they come in. You know, it's not the corny, like, yo, the customer's always right, or, you know, treat the customer like family. It's like, nah, it's like, let's really build this community around this restaurant and build something really dope. And that's kind of at the essence what Sweet Chick is, you know?
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, like, you know, I've been to the restaurant. I'm pretty sure Ben's been to the restaurant
as
well. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure if you're a New Yorker and you haven't been
there. Yeah, you've gone. So, yeah.
You're ashamed of yourself. You haven't gone.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. So, I mean, and as mentioned, like, the playlist is definitely, like, stands out, as well as, like, you know, the staff. And it's just a very comfortable environment for a place, you know, a restaurant that serves comfort food and stuff. Like, how would you describe, like, the difference between, like, you know, Sweet Chick and then, like, you know, a chain restaurant like, you know, Roscoe's and stuff in L.A.?
Yeah. You know, and, like, again, you bring up Roscoe's. So, like, a lot of people compare us to Roscoe's. And Roscoe's is Roscoe's. You know, it's an iconic brand based out of L.A. You might even catch me in Roscoe's at 4 a.m. But we are very different. You know, we're very different in our approach to food. Like, you know, we take our food program very seriously. I'm not a chef. I grew up in hospitality. You know, my father was a bartender in New York. So like I grew up around this. I worked in restaurants for years. I hire amazing chefs, you know, like I'm not gonna, you know, we don't half-ass anything. Not that, you know, not speaking that anybody else half-asses anything, but like when you say comfort food, we kind of coin ourselves as new American comfort food, right? So like we're trying to push the boundary of what comfort food is and really give people an experience. A lot of our customers, you know, may not go to, you know, specific higher end restaurants, and we want them to come in and really be blown away by the food. And with that said, it's like people that are going to 5-star restaurants, we want them to come in and feel like they're also at a 5-star restaurant. But the experience, it's like just the experiential part of it overall is still going to be very different from what the, you would get at like a, you know, a White Napkin restaurant.
Michelin star.
Yeah,
kind of spot.
Yeah, yeah. But we take food very seriously at Sweet Chick. And I think there's, you know, it's like there's all types of parts of running a restaurant. And I think we're dedicated to really trying to be great at each part for us, right? Like we're not, you know, those White Napkin restaurants might take their service in a totally different direction very seriously. Our service is meant to be like, you know, have fun. I want to see people laughing. I want to see people, you know, vibing. I want to see their heads bobbing, you know, like, and I want to see people laughing and having a good time. That's like, that's the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ben mentioned like, you know, Pops as well as like, you know, your coffee shop on Ludlow.
Yeah.
What was like your foray into culinary? Like, when did you get into it?
So, you know, again, I'm more of a hospitality guy. So I grew up in a bar. You know, my father was a bartender, local bartender. So really, to me, community building was like the at the forefront for me. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knew my father from the neighborhood, you know. So like we would get in trouble before we got in trouble. You know, like somebody would be I seen you and your brother down the park doing this wild stuff. You know, they'd hear about it. So that's where I think my strength kind of lies. Mm-hmm. I've worked in restaurants. I've worked in fine dining restaurants as a server. You know, I had shifts at different places. I've kind of jack of all trades, master of none. And then I eventually became a bartender myself. So I worked in Irish bars and I started working in the club industry, opening up a lot of clubs in New York and working at those spots. As far as food goes, Pops, the burger spot, opened about 12 years ago. That was essentially like an homage to my father. I really didn't know what to do, to be honest with you. I was just like, I got to do something. And my wife, who comes from a culinary background, you know, really wanted to open a restaurant. I just wanted to be safe, and I wanted to do something that I knew. So I literally found a guy on Craigslist who was selling a restaurant. I was just like, I got to do something. I was literally like, what can I do? I had stacks of bread. I was working nightlife. And I found this guy who was selling this little, like, frozen burger stand in Brooklyn. And the one that he had, I didn't really like. It was on Havermeyer Street. And I knew about the one that he had on North 8th, where Pops eventually was. So I saw it was really a shithole, you know? And the guy was just like in over his head. And I kind of talked him into selling me the spot that I liked. And I didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest with you. I learned as I went. But I knew that what he was doing there wasn't that good. And I was like, I can probably do better. So it was an homage to my father, Pops. You know, you see the tattoo. That's like the menu. I have a tattoo of my father on my arm. That was the cover art for the menu. And my father used to make burgers for guys in the neighborhood when I was a kid. Like, there was no menu at the bar he worked at. He would just go to the grocery store and get some hamburger meat and make burgers by hand and just sell a couple of them during the day. So it was like I kind of brought it back to the essence of, like, what I grew up in. I was like, you know what, let me, you know, I can take this spot, turn it into a neighborhood kind of hangout, and just produce some quality food. I know how to make the fuck out of a burger, you know, like I can make a great burger. So, like, I'm a chef by no means, you know. Sometimes I used to catch me cooking on TV, but it's like, if I can cook it, you can cook it. You know, it's not that difficult. That's kind of how I got into the industry. I mean, my wife definitely put the battery in my back, and I just was kind of wanted to do something, you know. I was tired of working in nightlife. And I was like, you know, let me see and try this. You know, hindsight is a little bit crazy. I took everything that I owned, everything that I knew, all the money that I had in my, you know, under my mattress. Definitely none of it was in the bank. And, you know, I copped the spot from this dude. I literally did the concrete floors myself, painted the place myself. My wife was there with a jackhammer and just made it work.
Literally a mom and pop shop.
Literally a mom and pop shop. And 6 years later, after we had opened that spot, is when I took the spot on the corner, which is the original Sweet Chick.
Mm.
Wow. And so, and now there's a Sweet Chick. There's three boroughs. You got Manhattan, Brooklyn.
Queens opens now. Next week, and then LA.
And then now you have LA.
Yeah, so we have LA.
It really is. It's sort of like it has blossomed into this thing where, like, Sweet Chick is the franchise, Pops is the flagship in a weird way.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And we mentioned that music has played like an essential part throughout it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How did what's the Joey Badass origin story?
So, you know? Joey used to come in with his cousin, rest in peace, his cousin Junior. And we were just listening to his album. It was 1999 at the time when we opened. when we were opening the restaurant. It was just like, you know, we listened to a lot of music, but specifically, I think I had just got put on to Joey.
Yeah.
And
that was a special moment in New York rap.
Yeah, yeah.
Felt really cool.
And they were just coming through, you know, and Joey and his cousin would come through. We just met. We would just chop it up a little bit. And, you know, just like, he's a good kid and, you know, whatnot. And it's just funny how evolved, you know, even our relationship, me and Joey's relationship since then. That's like little bro.
Yeah, because like you guys did his New York Fashion Week thing.
And we did it. We've done the curry chicken and waffle at the restaurant and we did a release party for Before the Money when it came out. Yeah, and just like he's just always in there. You know, his assistant was in there yesterday grabbing food, you know. Peace to Joey and congratulations. He just had a little baby girl the other day, so.
Congrats good for him.
Joey Dadass.
But yeah, it was cool. I mean, I, you know, and in the restaurant, I ended up meeting a lot of guys. You know, like Action was on the block one day, and literally, I think he was the first rapper to actually even eat at Sweet Chick. I literally stepped to Action on the block, and I was like, I said, it was him and Bess, and I was like, hey, yo, you want to be the first rapper to eat in my restaurant? Straight up, that's just like that. And they were like, all right, cool, word. So we came in. Ended up knowing a lot of people that they know because it's New York and
yeah, Queens.
They're Albanian. I grew up with a lot of Albanian guys, and it was just you know, it's a small world when you're from New York. And then since then, it was like, you know, artists really kind of fucked with us. Just happened to it's weird how it's kind of really organically built like that. But definitely the first thing that pushed us over in the music stuff was the Raekwon 1 year anniversary party in Williamsburg.
Yeah, and when you guys opened up the West Coast restaurant, like you guys had like a huge party there where a lot of rappers came out as well.
Yeah, and that's like the Rapture caught some of that on tape. And I'll tell you, the LA opening for me personally, I know for Nas too, was so dope. Like we had YG and Schoolboy Q come through and perform at the opening. And like for me as a New Yorker, like, you know, this the thought of LA my whole life was always just like, wow, the palm trees. It was like, you know, I guess how like people that come to New York, they think of New York as like this like, this like place that's just like unimaginable and like this shiny diamond, you know? I've been here forever, so like I'm used to it. So for me, LA was always kind of like that. It was like, ooh, that's Hollywood, and that's like, it's warm weather and like palm trees. It's just like super fly. Like,
yeah, the promised land.
Yeah, like girls on long skateboards and short shorts and shit like that. You know, like it's just like this, the promised
medicinal
land.
Medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, medicinal marijuana.
Straightened out over exactly. there.
Perfect.
I remember the first time I went out to LA, I went into a smoke shop and I was just like, yo, this is crazy. Like, you know how I used to have to get my weed back in the day? Like, everybody who's in New York now, like young kids, like, yo, I used to have to get my weed, man. We used to have to troop uptown to the bodega. Like, it was very different back in the day, you know? Now you just pick up a phone and call somebody.
Yeah, people have bike couriers now.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, they've been around for
people
a while.
Are soft.
It's crazy.
You don't have to go into the park anymore and risk your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to have to risk my life uptown all the time when I was like 14. Hop on the bus, but for where were we at?
West Coast.
Oh yeah, the opening party.
It's
bad.
Crazy that you had.
I'm
YG.
High right now. I'm high. I think we just got high talking about it. So for me, like you know, I mean, you know, the blood and the Crip, you know, conversation, you know, where YG is related to Red and Schoolboy is related to Blue and that whole lifestyle that really we never really had here growing up. It was just really surreal for me to see those two guys performing. You know, not that there's like a beef anyway, but it's just like, it was just very cool for a New Yorker to be out there and be like, damn. And I know Nas felt the same way. And then, you know, I told Nas a long time ago, I was like, yo, I never want you to perform at Sweet Chick. And he's like, why? Well, you know, what happens when I'm, you know, turning up and we want to perform? I'm like, well, maybe I'll grab the mic. And he's like, ah. But anyway, he grabbed the mic. He started performing. Late night, we had like a freestyle cypher. Like Tretch got on the mic, and Tretch murdered it, yo, on the freestyle shit. Like it was insane. I was just like, this dude is so nice. Like he killed it. Like late night. So like, yeah, Netflix didn't get all that footage.
Damn it.
But Sticky Fingers was going off. It was like Nori gave this crazy speech. It was that was a really fun
it's
night.
Like
in
Rap
LA.
City, but it. But it's Sweet Chick, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. It was like Rap City late night. Nas set it off. Nas grabbed the mic late night and was just like, I think Static put on like an old school beat and it started freestyling. I was like, yo, this is just crazy.
That's
right
wild.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. So how different is like, you know, the atmosphere in the West Coast flagship versus like, you know, the New York flagships?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, to be honest with you, every restaurant to me is different. And a lot of that really just stems from the staff. So like we're right now training for the Queen staff, and like I'm telling them, I'm like, you guys are the most important people here. You know, like the other day, you know, I'm giving one of my little, you know, infamous speeches at the restaurant before we open. I'm like, you know, everybody says the customer is the most important person. And that's true in a lot of senses of the word. But to me, my staff is the most important people. I want them to be happy. I want them to be having a good time. And they're the ones that are going to build the brand for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones that are going to make the place special. When you come in, it's going to be special because of the experience you had with them, you know? And so I think each restaurant has a different staff, and they really kind of create it. We don't really cross like the staff into different restaurants. So like I have an amazing staff at the Lower East Side, I have amazing staff in Williamsburg. A lot of them in Williamsburg been there for 5 years since we've been open. The whole time they're still there. They love it. But we don't really have them come open up the new store. Like a lot of people might do that because they'd be like, oh, they're experienced, let's bring them over there. I want to build the culture within this new staff and let them know that they're the ones that built this, you know? Also telling them that it's also like, I was on the Today Show the other day, right? I'm here at Hypebeast talking to you guys, you know, talking about the restaurant, right? People would say, oh, that's press. It's like, all the press that I can do, I mean, I can fucking, you know, I can have Kathy Lee and Hoda sitting on my shoulders, you know, talking about Sweet Chick. But the best piece of press that we can ever have is a customer coming in and having a fucking amazing time. That's the best.
The positive Yelp review.
That's the positive Yelp review. Definitely. And it's not even, you know, and it's like Yelp is, you know, it is having a positive, it helps, but just the individual person leaving there being like, which is our mission really, is to have you come in and leave feeling better than you did when you came in, when you came in, you know? So that's the ultimate goal. If we can do that with everybody that comes in, or 95% of the people come, we win. You know, we're going to win. And it's like, it's not even like a competition in winning. It's just like, that's what we want to be. You know what I'm saying? We want to make people's lives better. It's like, as crazy as that is, just can a meal do that? I don't know. For the moment, yes, it can, you know, and we have the opportunity to do it. So we should try to achieve that, you know.
All I know is at 4 a.m. in the morning,
that shit kicks.
Yeah, that will kicks and will save
you. Definitely leave me happy after that at 4 in the morning. Make that's facts. An easy one.
It could change the world.
Those are our favorite customers, you know. Those are our favorite customers. Yeah.
So plugging in, like, you know, the new location, where is it, the exact address?
So it's on Vernon Boulevard between 46th and 47th Street. So it's 4642 Vernon Boulevard, Long Island City, Queens.
And what was the decision behind, like, you know, placing that flagship right there on Vernon Boulevard?
I mean, when I met Nas the first time, he definitely was like, yo, we got to put one in Queens. And I was like, yeah, 100%. I'm with you on that. You know, that would just be super dope. As far as it being on Vernon, my boy who also has a spot out there, Blend, that was one of my homies from a long time ago. Shout out to Anthony. He was like, yo, I got the spot. This dude, you know, this restaurant went out. It's available. I went over there. I'm like, I can see the Queensboro Bridge. For your young kids, that's the Ed Koch Bridge now. I guess they renamed it.
Yeah, they rebranded it.
We call it the 59th Street Bridge. If you live in Manhattan, you call it the 59th Street Bridge. You live in Queens, the Queensboro Bridge. You can see it from right outside. And it's on Vernon Boulevard. I mean, how many times you heard about Vernon Boulevard represent or something
exactly.
Like that?
Yeah,
you know? So it just made sense. So at this space, what we're also doing, it's a pretty big space. So we built like a private room in the back that's going to be kind of like inspired by Nas's father. You know, more or less, it's a jazz inspired room, which also is the birth of Chicken and Waffles. So it all kind of ties in. So like that's going to be like a private room, obviously, for Nas. He's going to be chilling in there a lot. And then, you know, people can rent it out. Just kind of bringing something a little bit different to that space. And it's kind of like that's going to be maybe the mecca of Sweet Chick, you know? So.
Yeah, and you mentioned like the opening happening, I believe, like this weekend, right?
Yeah, this weekend.
All right, so I think by the time this episode comes out, it'll already happen. So is there any like big surprises that are gonna be happening?
Honestly, we didn't go too crazy because I'm like, you know, this is really Nas's baby, I think, you know. So obviously Nas will be there. I got Static is DJing, Powers Pleasant's DJing, this girl Z Muffin's DJing. I got Keon Harolds, who's a jazz musician. Young jazz cat. He's gonna play early, and then who knows what's gonna happen late night. You know, I'm not even planning it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not even planning it. I'm like, yo, let's just have a good time.
Another spontaneous, you know? XXL cipher.
You know, yeah. You know, it's one of those things that just like it depends on who's in town.
Yeah.
You know,
whoever stops by, whoever's in Queens.
Exactly. You know, so And you know, we'll see. I honestly have no idea. But again, it's also like, I'm just like, I have no expectation, man. I'm just like, yo, let's have a good time. Let's have a good time, you know. And it's going to be, you know, friends, family, and, you know, I'm sure Queensbridge will be in there heavy.
Oh, for sure. And I know you mentioned earlier about, like, growing up and, like, being all into Nas's music and stuff. But I was reading, there's a New York Times profile of you from, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
And you actually, you have in your apartment, you have framed portraits of, like, Warhol and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
By Ricky Powell.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually been on this show before.
Ricky's the best, man.
Yeah, shout out to the Rickster, right?
Uncle Touchy, as I like to call him.
Yo.
He has so many AKAs. Shout out to Ricky.
Uncle the Rickster, Uncle Touchy, you know.
I was wondering, it was like, who were some of the people that, like, when you were, like, a kid growing up in New York and shit, what was, like, that scene like? Who were the people that, when you were running around kind of trying to, I don't know, like, you were in Manhattan Who were some of the people that you looked up to?
I mean, obviously, you know, music artists, right? You know, Ricky Powell's definitely one of those. You know, he captured a lot of New York growing up. I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm not going to sound like the cool guy that's like, oh, all these cool people like I looked up to. The people I looked up to, nope, you guys don't even know who they are.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys I looked up to personally were like the toughest dudes in my neighborhood. You know, some of those dudes are in jail. Some of those dudes are dead. Graffiti writers, stuff like that. That's who I looked up to. But like, because that's maybe what the world I was in. It took a while for me to come downtown and figure out all this cool stuff going on down here. But,
Where did you grow up uptown?
I grew up on 80th and 1st Ave.
Oh, word.
So,
okay.
You know, we call, if you're Irish and like me, Irish American, we call it Yorkville, right? There's a little area from 96th Street to down to 79th Street and 1st. So, you know, that's my New York. You know, it's like the Hypebeast kids, you guys never know about who these people are. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know where 86th Street is, man.
Yeah. Like, they won't know, you know, they don't know about that life, you know? So, But New York was a fucking amazing place to grow up, man. You know, it's like, it was crazy. It was fun. I'm glad it is what it is now. You know, it's funny because I think in the email you guys were talking about gentrification stuff, and I just read, I'll shout out Born and Raised. Sponto just put up this post the other day.
Shout out Sponto.
That kind of struck a chord with me because he's from Venice, and he's like, you know, he's really kind of rebelling against this gentrification that's happening there.
Yeah.
And I remember I commented on the post, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and I was like, word, you know, shit, man, New York has been Disneyland for fucking 25 years now, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, this shit is over. You know, like, that history that, like, people are trying to maybe grasp onto, it's over. Like, New York, as I remember it, if we came down here to where we are right now outside of Hypebeast Studios, is a very good possibility that somebody, you guys are getting robbed. I'm not getting robbed, but you guys might get robbed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's true. It was a different era, a different time, and I'm glad it's not like that anymore because it's also, New York is fun now, right? But it, like when I say it's like Disneyland, it's just different. You know, like back then, you guys would have loved it too. If it happened right now and it just changed, you guys would love it and you'd be like, fuck, this is crazy. It was definitely a little more Wild Wild West.
Intense.
Yeah. Like, you know, shit, I've had dudes pull butcher knives out on me downtown. You know, like literally like the fucking...
The cleaver.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a wild time and fun and exciting. And when you're in it, you're like, yeah, that shit was dope.
Yeah.
And you're a part of it. It's a different thing now, and you got to roll with it. And I'm never going to be that dude that's like, it was better back then, and you guys don't know. It's just because it's also fucking dope right now, you know? And a part of what we try to do, at least for me, what I try to do with Sweet Chick is like continue the community of what it is to be living in New York and like, and having fun, you know? It's like, that's what's inspiring to me, and like building bonds and friendships and, you know, and like-minded people getting together and, you know, music and art and all that combined is really dope. And I feel kind of proud to say, like, when we opened up the Sweet Chick in the Lower East Side, that used to be Max Fish.
That was going to be my next thing.
Right.
There you go.
So that was like an iconic kind of skate bar downtown scene. And so Max Fish closed, I think, you know, what it probably was There was a rent increase, you know, like as most businesses have to go out. And when I opened up Max Fish, I didn't really hang out at Max Fish. I used to get tattooed on Ludlow Street next door at Daredevil. I didn't really hang out at Max Fish, but I'm sure I've gotten into a couple of fights on that block but in my day. But, you know, I respected Max Fish. I respected what was previously there. And I ended up buying the liquor license off of Uli, who owned it. But I remember, like, I'm a dude who, you know, you had asked me where I'm usually at. So I also took next door was Pink Pony, and I turned that into a coffee shop in my office. So I'm a dude who, like, I sit on the street. When the weather's good, I'm sitting outside there. I'm there all day.
Yeah.
And I hear people walk by, and I'll hear somebody who, like, just came back to New York from vacation or like, they're living somewhere else now. And they're like, oh, fuck, man. Yo, fuck this place. Yo, this used to be Max Fish. And part of me, you know, the 18-year-old in me wants to smack that dude in his face, right? Because if he only knew that when that place was available and I thought about it, I said to myself, damn, I'd rather take it, than have, like, Chipotle come take this.
Or
Starbucks come take this. Because, you know, to me, Sweet Chick is still preserving the history of New York, you know, just by the people that are behind it. And not everybody involved in Sweet Chick is from New York. It's like we have plenty of people that come from Wisconsin and, you know, wherever else in America there is, you know. I have a whole unique thesis of where the rest of America is. I've never been to this middle America part of the country. I've never been out there. And one of the guys who works with me, Kyle, shout out to Kyle, is from Wisconsin. So I just keep saying, like, if you come from Louisiana or whatever, to me it's all Wisconsin. Everything's Wisconsin.
It's all one big, like, square state.
Yeah, there's New York, there's LA, there's Miami, Chicago, and, you know,
the middle is Wisconsin.
Whole other country.
45 Wisconsins.
And then everything else in the middle there, that shit is just Wisconsin. Right? Colorado maybe, like, is somewhere in the mix.
The mountains.
Yeah, it's just like that's the mountain part, you know? But
they have weed over there too.
That's
right?
My take. Yeah, that's why I know Colorado. So, you know, that's just my take on it. But you know, again, it's like, I'm not trying to be that old dude that's like, yo, fuck it, you ain't from here. It's like, if you're moving here and you had the balls to move here and you know, you're from your Wisconsin and you're like, yo, I've always wanted to live in New York, and you're going to come to New York and respect New York and show respect. That's like, when you go back to Max Fish, the respect level that I had for it was, I took the old doors, right, from Max Fish. I did a Hypebeast video on it, actually. But I took the doors off the old Max Fish, the front doors, and I, like, repurposed all that wood inside the place, right? Like, nobody knows that shit. I know that shit. Yeah. Because to me, that's the juju. You know what I'm saying? That was part of what was there. And it's like, I need to recycle that to some extent. The way the sign is, Sweet Chick, the way the storefront is, we redid the storefront. But I was like, I want to make sure that it's still, like, kind of the same visual as Max Fish. And if you guys don't know what it looks like, if you come to Ludlow Coffee Supply and you walk into Ludlow Coffee Supply, on the left, there's an old photo of Max Fish and there's an old photo of Pink Pony, which were the two stores that were there. I took over the Pink Pony. It was closed for 2 years. I took it over. Which is just respect, which is a very New York thing, right? Like, and it's a very old school New York thing, is like having respect and just, you know,
paying
something
homage.
Very important, and paying homage or homage.
There you go. Know? Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I don't know, man, we just, you know, I think there's still people in New York trying to keep things relevant and trying to build that, you know, what makes New York so great, you know. But if you do come from Wisconsin and you don't respect the shit, then it's like, you know, you could get slapped.
Yeah, order your chicken and waffles, but think it out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, have respect for where you're at, man, and what's been here before you. But, you know.
Man, I remember I was on for that. We did that video, like, what? That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn. Time fucking flies. We did this. We did like a how to make beer can chicken with the
Fat
Jewish.
Jew, yeah.
And then I remember, what was it? I remember I told you, I was like, look, man, I can't eat much here because I can't do I have celiac. So
I can't do gluten.
Have you guys done a gluten-free fried chicken yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't. A lot of people keep asking.
Do the gluten-free fried chicken?
I keep thinking that celiacs is really a fake disease, but then one of my daughters actually has had this stomach problem recently, and I've been reading about celiac, and I'm like, maybe she's got this fucking fake disease.
No fucking way.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, we should do that because a big part of Sweet Chick is like the vegetarian chicken and waffles, like. A lot of it is because that dish itself, the chicken and waffle dish, has like that cult following, but it is like, it's the to me, it really is the ideal dish for people to sit around. And that's why we do like the three different butters and the different styles
share,
and stuff.
Right?
Yeah, because we want people like, you might love this thing, you might love this thing. And we want people to come together around food, man. That's what food is really all about too, man. It's like a big part of it. And you're right. It's like the gluten-free option should be there. So this conversation might really spark me to actually go talk to my chef and be like, and he's going to roll his eyes at me and I'm going to be like, bro, we got to do this, man.
I have a whole concept for it and everything, man.
Yeah.
Fucking sprinkle voodoo chips in there.
Chips, bro. Those are gluten-free?
Those are gluten-free.
Oh, those things are so good.
Yeah. See, this is the most stoner episode of this show by far
so
far.
No, fucking voodoo chips, bro. Those are the shit.
Those are loud pack.
Yo, if you haven't had
Sponsor
voodoo
the
chips.
Pod.
If you haven't had voodoo chips, you're playing yourself.
Yo, that was my hard-hitting question for the day. It was just for me. It's like one for them, one for me. One for them, one for me.
Shout out to all the celiac victims out there.
Gluten-free gang. Free gluten till it's backwards.
Free gluten. Cool.
Usually we like to end things on a note where it's like, look, if you could go back, say like you have a time machine, right?
Yep.
You go back to, I don't know, when you were 13 years old in Central Park with the boombox, bumping Nas.
Yep. Smoking an L.
Yeah. What advice would you give that kid to like steer them in the right direction?
I would just say, just be good to people, man. Just be good to people. You know, like, not that I haven't, but like, you know, I would say you don't really got to do much different. You're going to make mad mistakes. I did. Just keep, keep that positive mental attitude, man. And just fucking... you know, just go take over life, you know what I'm saying? And live it, you know? But I think be good to people, man, because there's probably some regrets that I had, like, you know, where like, you know, I did some wild shit to somebody that's like, you know, just be good to people. I think that's kind of like the best thing you can do in life. You keep that and stay positive.
Perfect. That's a good
word.
No, is any to end on? All right, man. Thank you so much for finding some time to come in. Busy week. We really appreciate it. And doors open if you ever want to come back. We'll work on the gluten-free thing as soon as we stop rolling now.